is July 18, 1985, for National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, our sixth interview with Saul Weisberg at the United Jewish Federation building on McKee Place in Oakland. Sylvia Busis and Eleanor Mermelstein interviewing. Saul, at one point a few weeks ago, we sat down with you and discussed the various topics that you felt were you still had relevant things to say, and one of the areas that you mentioned was B'nai B'rith Hillel. Would you like to start with that today?
All right, although I want to again, as I did once before, preface my remarks by pointing out that my comments are indicating an individual undertaking almost, and that this can be misleading, and I want to emphasize that there are always lay people, particularly chairmen and so forth, who are very much involved, who might have prime responsibility, who might have been exercising initiative, and that I don't want these remarks, if and when they are read, to either magnify my contribution or to minimize, for that matter, the contributions of the very considerable number of very competent and skilled and dedicated lay people with whom I so constantly and frequently work. Having once again said that, let's talk about B'nai B'rith Hillel. B'nai B'rith Hillel actually was established way back in the 20s, as you probably know. The B'nai B'rith established Jewish sponsored basically religious facilities on campuses throughout the United States and eventually throughout the world. These facilities were designed to make it possible for Jewish students to have a place to mingle with other Jewish students, to worship, so to speak, or at least to have an opportunity to worship, and on the whole to promote the connection between the Jewish student on the one hand and Judaism on the other. And I think that the program has to be looked upon as being successful enough from the 20s on into the 50s, because certainly the number of facilities multiplied rapidly, and the program had a great deal of support from the B'nai B'rith. And in those days, Federation support was given to B'nai B'rith youth programs by an allocation to a national B'nai B'rith organization called B'nai B'rith National Youth Services Appeal, which in turn distributed its money to subsidiary B'nai B'rith youth organizations, one of which was B'nai B'rith Hillel. Locally in Pittsburgh, there was a B'nai B'rith Hillel. It did receive money from Washington. And in the 60s at least, and I guess on into the 70s, it was headed on a part-time basis professionally by Rabbi Richard Rubenstein, whose name I assume is familiar to both of you.
You said part-time basis.
He worked half-time and he taught at Pitt.
I
was a successful, as a matter of fact, academician in terms of his attraction to the students of Pitt. He was a good lecturer, or at least an attractive lecturer. Nationally and locally, once we got into the 60s, the appeal of B'nai B'rith Hillel to the students certainly began to erode. it may have always been the minimal. Those of you such as Sylvia, whose children, all of his children, have gone to universities, and Neil was probably in the universities in the 60s. It would be interesting to know what use, if any, he made of the neighbor's yellow.
Someday I'll give you a story on that one.
But be that as it may, the 60s was a period of ferment on the campuses, and Jewish students were very much part of that ferment, and the traditional modes of Ben Grit Hillel certainly no longer were effective in either inducing Jewish students to use B'nai B'rit Hillel facilities or to promote that matter, for that matter, and a sense of allegiance on the part of Jewish students to Judaism generally. After all, the university, the American University of Dartmouth, is one of the great open societies, and on top of that, as I said, the 60s was a period of ferment. So nationally and locally, more and more discontent and criticism about the B'nai B'rit Hillel student program began to be voiced. And pressure began to be exerted for Federation to attempt in some way or another to involve itself in B'nai B'rit Hillel student programming, both in terms of giving more money, by the way, and in terms also of having some voice, however it was exercised, in the nature of the programming and in the nature of the facility. Pittsburgh was one of the first communities to really begin to take action. I don't remember the precise date, but in Pittsburgh, as I said, there was a part-time program professionally, and then, of course, there was a local B'nai B'rit group who exercised general responsibility for the student or Hillel program on the campus, and that meant really Pitt, by the way, in those days. It was finally agreed, once again, we had the business of two organizations coming together to take a look. It was finally agreed in Pittsburgh that the B'nai B'rit and the Federation should have a joint committee which should take a look at the B'nai B'rit Hillel operation locally. This was done with the consent and, well, I wouldn't say the urging, but at least with the consent of the national B'nai B'rit Hillel office. You should understand that the B'nai B'rit Hillel professionals are responsible to a professional office in, located in Washington and supported by B'nai B'rit. And we did set up a committee, and we did undertake to take a look at what was happening in Pittsburgh. And we came, when I say we, I mean the committee came to the conclusion, it was representatives, as I said, of both groups, the committee came to the conclusion that the programming in Pittsburgh was limited and the use of the programming was certainly limited. I remember having lunch one day, I'm sure he would not remember, but I remember having lunch one day with Dick Rubenstein to talk with him about the program and his own role and so forth. And I asked him how did he see himself in terms of his, what might be called, job responsibilities. And he said that he saw himself first as a theologian, second as an academician, and third as a B'nai B'rit Hillel director. And for me, at least, that seemed to very clearly state what the situation was, and very clearly state that it was a situation that could not lead to effective delivery of services on the campus. As a result of the committee's deliberations, a report was issued recommending that a new structure be developed, which Sylvia, at least, Eleanor, is extremely familiar since she's been very active at the Neighbors Hillel Foundation, which I'm going to describe in a moment. They're very active for, 10 years, I guess, now. At least it's been a long time. But the original report recommended that there be a board set up consisting of representation from the Federation and or from the community at large is a better way to put it, from B'nai B'rith. It also recommended that there be a direct allocation made by Federation to this new creature, this new organization, which was to be called, still frequently is called, or technically, I guess, it's called the B'nai B'rith Hillel Foundation, although it also now calls itself, I guess, a Jewish Student Center, maybe some other names as well. And it was agreed that a full-time professional would be brought in to staff the new organization, and that much more energy and resources were to be devoted to the programming. A search committee was established, and a Rabbi Philip Siegel was brought in to become the first director of the B'nai B'rith Hillel Foundation, the new, what might be called, merged organization.
Do we have a date for that, Bob? Do you have an
idea? I was trying to think, you know, when I was sitting down here. My guess would be in the early 70s. I'd have to go back, though, but I think it was the early 70s.
Thank you.
I'm trying to remember whether Jesse was already president or not when this took place. In the original discussions, Soroka certainly, as well as I, really exercised a lot of initiative in pushing this forward, but it was really part of a very high degree of discontent nationally with B'nai B'rith Hillel. Every year, when I would go to the General Assembly, if I sat in on a large city budgeting conference session with National B'nai B'rith, the large city budgeting conference membership would express its concern in the strongest terms to the B'nai B'rith people about what was happening to B'nai B'rith Hillel, and some changes be taking place, and weren't the students disappearing, and the whole business. And as I said, Pittsburgh was one of the first to respond. And we were one of the first, maybe the first for all I know, to set up this new structure in which the Federation had a direct participation with a new board, and with, and this was extremely important, this was the crux of it, with the understanding that the new professional would be responsible to the board more in a sense than he would be responsible to the Washington office, although it was understood that there would still be a connection between the Washington office and the local director, but not the kind of supervision or supervisory connection that had taken place in the past.
And no one had seen this before as a full-time position.
Oh, in other places, yes, not in Pittsburgh.
I see.
Not in Pittsburgh. Oh, no, in other places where there was more money devoted to it and so forth. And don't forget, and it made a big difference. You're talking about a local urban community with what was thought to be at least what is called a large commuter student population. And you can't compare that with a place, let's say, like Ohio State, or Ohio State's maybe not the best example, but some of maybe Wisconsin and Madison, you know, places like that where they didn't have the large urban population, where the students to a very large extent were from out of town and so forth. So they did have full-time professionals, but the effectiveness of the professionals in many of those was still criticized very sharply on the grounds that this is a different kind of thing. In many instances, it was on philosophical grounds, grounds that the the neighbors Hillel programming, I'm talking nationally now, the neighbors Hillel programming was too religiously oriented, that there wasn't enough attention being paid to the needs and the desires of the students outside the religious area, that the ability to foster or to rather answer to what might be called the social needs of the Jewish students, the ability to answer was not adequate, and that on the whole the Jewish students were, as I said, being lost into, or put it differently, were disappearing into the open society, and that the whole hope for Jewish continuity, a hope which resided so strongly in what might be called this Jewish elite, that hope has been a founder because of the inadequacy of the B'nai B'rith Hillel program. So it's really a matter of a lot of concern. In Pittsburgh, as I said, we came up with this new answer. It was agreed that the Federation would increase the resources made available and make a direct allocation to B'nai B'rith Hillel, and then a full-time professional would be hired, and a fellow by the name of Rabbi Philip Sigel was hired. He just died very recently, by the way, I discovered. I knew Phil, of course, obviously quite well, since he and I had a lot to do with each other, and it turned out to be a very unfortunate choice. Philip Sigel was a very charming man, I thought, when you were having lunch with him. But on the job, he was remote from the students. He was unable to really apply himself to the students, but rather applied himself to research and to study in which he was interested. He didn't have much feeling for Israel, or for promotion of Israel among the students, and there were lots of problems with him. And in a couple years, it became apparent that he was indeed a problem. He was a rabbi, however, and there was a sense already of allegiance to him on the part of at least the B'nai B'rith members of the board, who, by the way, had accepted, but not too happily, the new arrangements, and who, as is true in all these mergers, still saw B'nai B'rith Hillel Foundation as being a B'nai B'rith operation rather than either a federation operation or a merged organization. The question came up, what next should take place? And I had been already, I think, promoting, and I use the word advisedly in this instance, already, I think, been promoting very strongly the notion that the Federation should be undertaking what in those days I called performance and achievement reviews of agency activities. Today it's called program audit, although it's not taking place. And it was suggested, because I suggested it, that maybe the way to tackle the B'nai B'rith Hillel problem is to conduct a program audit, as we would call it, or a performance and achievement, I guess we called it then, of the B'nai B'rith Hillel program. I think when we first put the merger together, it was agreed that after a certain period there would be an evaluation anyway. So we undertook this. We had a performance and achievement committee with John Wolfe, I think, as chairman, if I remember rightly, and we asked Eric Halpern to chair the performance and achievement committee. The reason I'm hesitating is because I suddenly realized that I'm blocking on who the first president of the merged organization was. Funny, just walked right out on me. Maybe it'll come back, maybe it won't. Anyway, we then Oh, it may have been already Charlotte Finkelstein. It may have already been Charlotte. And it was certainly Charlotte when we were engaged intensively in the program audit.
And she was the there president. As a B'nai B'rith
she,
person.
Oh, yeah, she was a B'nai B'rith person, but right. She was the president. Mm-hmm. And she had a lot of difficulty with the whole process because she was a B'nai B'rith person. She had a certain kind of reverence for a rabbi. She found it very difficult to challenge Bill Sigel. It wasn't easy to challenge, by the way, to start with. He had a, as I said, he was very charming in a way, but he also had a personality that could be difficult on occasion. Anyway, the program audit, I thought at least, came up with a very good document of evaluation in which it laid out some of the criticisms which I've already mentioned, lack of concern for Israel, lack of contact with students, so forth and so forth. And we got the merged board to agree that the neighborhood Hillel needed a fresh undertaking and that Phil Sigel should be asked to leave. This is not easy, you know, social welfare organizations. Maybe when we talk about process, I'll talk about that. But anyway, the board did ask Phil to leave.
The board of B'nai
B'rith Hillel.
Acting upon the recommendations of
this program audit committee.
Okay.
Yeah. So in other words, the program audit committee made its presentation to the Federation Board, and the Federation Board then made its recommendation to the recommendations, I guess, at the same time or maybe later, went to the B'nai B'rith Board. But as you know, there's a lot of inner communication also in these sort of things. But formally, the B'nai B'rith Hillel Board, acting on the recommendations of the Program Audit Committee, did finally ask Phil Sigel to resign. I remember meeting with the B'nai B'rith Hillel Board to defend, so to speak, the recommendations of the Program Audit Committee. A little bit unusual. Normally, you might have expected the chairman to do it, but whatever the reasons were, and I don't remember what the reasons were now, I did it as the professional. And it wasn't too difficult a meeting either, although there were some challenges. So Phil left. He remained in Pittsburgh to get his a doctorate. As I had mentioned earlier, he was had academic interests. And eventually left Pittsburgh to take a pulpit in, I think, Grand Rapids or someplace like that. He just died very recently, like within the last 2 weeks. He was replaced by Boris Rakovsky, Rakovsky, who turned out to be a different cup of tea. Is that when you got involved?
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. But you remember him?
I remember him, yes.
Boris turned out to be an altogether different cup of tea. Very aggressive, very strong in his beliefs, very orthodox, extremely orthodox, and it soon, and when I say soon, I really mean as these things go, it soon became apparent that he really was reaching a very narrow segment of the student population, which was just the contrary of what was desired. So Boris left. I won't go into detail on that. But anyway, he left. There's no need to belabor the fact on that he really was not at he was not at home here. Let's put it that way.
Was he here long?
I don't think it was more than 2 years of that long. Anyway, he left, and a new search took place. One in which, by the way, I didn't participate. Now that I think about it, Jesse was president then, I think, because I know that Jesse participated in that particular search. And very quickly they met up with Joe Levine, who was already part of the B'nai B'rith apparatus. Phil Siegel, by the way, had come not from within B'nai B'rith, but from a pulpit somewhere in New Jersey. Joe was already part of the B'nai B'rith apparatus, very highly regarded, very highly regarded. And he charmed the search committee, he charmed the B'nai B'rith board, and he was very quickly hired. He's a native Pittsburgher, I think. He's either a native or his family is native to Pittsburgh, by the way. And he wanted to come back to Pittsburgh. So it was a marriage that was consummated rather quickly. That must be, I guess, now 7 or 8 years ago, don't you think?
I really don't know when that might be.
I would think about 7 or 8 years ago. I have trouble with time because it's been a long span for me, and it's very easy for me to visualize a long period as being rather short. So I think that has probably been in 7 or 8 years. And he became the director. One of the key issues with Joe and with B'nai B'rith was when, in a sense, would it become appropriate and possible, for that matter, for a federation person or a community at large person to become president of the new board as opposed to a B'nai B'rith person. Up until Joe, at least, there had been a B'nai B'rith person who had been president, and B'nai B'rith had sort of desired that, although it was understood that a rotation would take place. And when Joe was here, Ed Ginberger may have been the first federation president, the first community-wide, or community-at-large person, I think, to become president of B'nai B'rith. I think I'm right on that. And today it's a functioning organization. How effective it is today, I really don't know. It would be an interesting, would be of interest to me do an evaluation of B'nai B'rith in terms of the objectives and in terms of where it was 10 years ago. But I haven't had any discussions with Joe himself directly for quite a long time. I used to meet with him and review what was happening. Anyway, that's the background of B'nai B'rith Hillel. And certainly, whatever's taking place now, certainly it was a major step forward. And Pittsburgh was looked upon, by the way, within the B'nai B'rith organization and generally as being quite a model for the changes that should be taking place in B'nai B'rith organization and around the country. One of the patterns that has been established has been this new arrangement of a new board with community majority representation, whatever the case may be, to which the B'nai B'rith Hillel director is responsible and so forth. And it's quite a different kind of arrangement from what took place 20 years ago. What's happening to B'nai B'rith Hillel nationally, whether it's really doing better, or so forth and so forth, I really don't know anything. Whether if I went to an LCBC meeting, I would hear the same complaints, I don't know. One thing is true, and that is that the money that the Federation has been putting into B'nai B'rith Hillel locally has increased, as you know, as Sylvia knows, has increased very substantially. But it was an interesting experience and a good one, and the program audit was a very successful undertaking in that instance.
Thank you for that. I think you also indicated that there was much to discuss about Jewish education. Do you feel like tackling that at this point,
sure.
Saul? Well, we have a very short time on this tape, but maybe you could make like an opening statement and then we'll stop so we don't interrupt you midstream and we'll turn.
Yes, I can make an opening statement in the sense of saying that Jewish education, at least since the 40s, has been a matter of the most intense concern to the Federation, as well as to the Jewish community. There is a lot of history about Jewish education in Pittsburgh, and for that matter, nationally. And when I talk about Jewish education being a matter of intense concern to Pittsburgh, I can, of course, say the same thing nationally, where for many years, people have felt that Jewish education was ineffective, and that somehow or other some new